بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will have message number 20 of the messages of hope, and we'll have class number 5 of the tawakkul, that is to say, trust in Allah. And the title of the class is Horoscopes Are Forbidden in Islam. Actually, again and again, sister, we must realize the meaning of the word tawakkul, which means trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that you must place your trust in none but Allah. You must turn to no one but Allah. You must seek only the protection of Allah. You must address your appeal only to Allah. And you must turn for help only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawakkul means to rely only on Allah for all your affairs and to accept all His decree after trying all the means. Last week we learned about the steps to have tawakkul, trust in Allah. Number one, knowing Allah, knowing His name and His attributes. Number two, to believe that what you ask Allah for, you will receive, as Allah has full power to grant everything. Number three, to know that you must make full effort of your own to obtain what you want, and then to have trust in Allah. Number four, make your heart connected to Allah, believing that He will take care of everything. Number five, put your affairs with Allah regarding things that are not in your hands or ability. When you feel that there are some issues in life which are out of your hands and your ability, that is to say you cannot take any means to do it, okay? Put all these affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number six, have good opinion of Allah. This is very important, sisters, to believe all the time that Allah will take care of me, Allah will make everything easy for me, Allah will make for me an outlet from every problem, Allah will make all my dreams real if they are good for me. Okay, so you must have the good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Even if you are looking for something, suppose I am a student and I am looking to be the first of my grade, and I studied, I tried all the best, then I can't have this, you know, I didn't become the first one, I am the third or the fourth. Still, I have to keep good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to believe that it is out of the knowledge and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He didn't make me to be the first. It is for my sake that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me to be the third and the fourth. And actually, I will clarify to you here a story related to my daughter. Actually, my daughter is in Carnegie Vanguard High School, which is the only talented school in Houston, high school. Okay, and actually, she was studying very good, and she was looking forward to be accepted in Rice University. But 2 months before the final exam, she was not feeling well. Her health condition was not good. And all praise to Allah, she got good grades, but she was not accepted in Rice University. So she was crying because she is still a teenager and young. She was crying and telling, I tried my best and I am putting the head cover and I am a true believer. So why Allah didn't make me to be accepted in Rice? I told her, this is the best for us. So she told me, no, but you will look at me also. She was thinking that me also as a mother, I want to be, you know, proud of my daughter and to say to everyone, my daughter is accepted in Rice University. I told her, Yosr, I was hoping that she will be accepted in Rice University because it is a good university. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His knowledge and out of His wisdom, decreed for you that she will not be accepted in Rice, so, as a true believer in Allah, having the full trust in Him, I am sure that this is the best for us. Why? On what basis? For what reason? This is none of our business. This is the business of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have full trust in Him that whatever He decreed for us is the best for us. If Allah knows that Rice University will be the best for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you to be accepted in Rice University. So long Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you not to be accepted in Rice, this means that Rice was supposed to be not good for us, and now she will be accepted in St. Thomas University. It is 2 blocks from our home or from our house, and actually it is a very good one. It is a small campus, you know, she will be more oriented with a small number of students, you know. So Yusr, we have to be thankful to Allah, and we have to actually celebrate that you will be accepted not in Rice University, and all praise to Allah, and I give her a good present, and all praise to Allah. You see, when you are a true believer in Allah, you have good opinion in Him, or you have a good opinion of Allah, all the events in your life will be good for you. You will never be sad, you will never be upset, you are not worried. If I am another mother whom she is not having full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will be having a problem with my daughter. Why you didn't study well? Why you didn't try this? Why you didn't try that? Why you are not accepted in Rice University? I will not forgive you. I will not forget you. Total nonsense. So long Allah decreed that she will not be accepted in Rice, that's it. If we cry, if we are sad, if we are not eating for 10 days, if we stop talking, nothing will never change. But we will be sending to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a message that we are not happy with your decree. We don't have good opinion of you. You are not making our dreams real. We don't like the decree. All this will cause more and more problems for us, because you are sending to the one who is controlling everything a message, I am not happy with what you decree for me. This is too bad in the sight of Allah. This is the message that I am not believing in your decree. If you are not believing in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are not a true believer. You see? So how we make our life a mess, and at the end of the day, she will be accepted in Rice if we cry and we don't accept the decree of Allah? No. She still will not be accepted in Rice University. So why? Why the true believers will not have good opinion of Allah? Whatever Allah decreed for us is the best, I am sure, because He is the most merciful. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that He can give to every one of us whatever we are looking for. But there is knowledge and there is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we believe in it. So we can make our life all the time, actually a life full of security, peace and tranquility. All praise to Allah. She has good health. She tried her best. We tried all the means. All praise to Allah. She will be accepted in another college, which is very close to our house. For a wisdom, no one knows it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, nowadays, I cannot drive long distance because of the illness of my knee joints. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for us that she will be accepted in a college which is so close to our house. So all the time have good opinion of Allah. If you are looking for something and it turns that you didn't get that which you are looking for, be sure that it is out of His mercy, out of His knowledge, out of His wisdom. Keep good opinion of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will all the time make you to be satisfied with His decree. This is the key of happiness in this life, that I am satisfied with everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for me. Anything and everything. Okay, so this is one step of having trust in Allah. Step number 6, have good opinion of Allah. Step number 7, be content with what Allah decrees. This is what I explain now. And with all what Allah decides, before the results come down. For example, when she applied to Rice University, okay, we have to be ready or prepared. Yes, if you will not accept it, no problem. We accept Allah's decree. We are actually content with all what Allah will decide for us before it happens. Step number 8, to have trust in Allah, when the results occur, be sure that this is the best for you. And be thankful to Him and appreciate His blessings and be content with your decree. No one can change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are logic and if we are true believer, what is the best for us? To accept Allah's decree, which no one can change it, or to keep all the time on saying, I'm not happy. This is what I was not supposed to have. Oh Allah, why? Oh Allah, when? Oh Allah, what is this? This is how the people are making their life miserable, and they make Allah to be upset with them, because part of the belief in Allah is to accept His decree. Because Allah is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We are just slaves of Allah, living very short life, which is a test. In the test, Allah will give you different type of questions. One of them is that you are looking forward to be in Rice University. Okay, you will not be in Rice University. Are you a true believer in my decree? You will accept my decree or not? If you accept it, you will be the one rewarded and you will live a nice life. We celebrate the day. She was not accepted in Rice University. All praise to Allah, and now we are preparing for the other college. Everything, alhamdulillah, is all right. But on the other side, those whom they don't accept the decree of Allah, they will keep on crying the whole summer, trying to think where was the problem, fighting together, what we can do, there is no solution. Let us try another college, then transfer to Rice University immediately after the first semester. It will never happen. Whatever Allah decreed is the reality of our worldly life. People like to live in dreams, okay, in confusion. This is their problem. But the true believer in the oneness of Allah, Allah will reward her by this belief. Everything from Allah is the best for me. That's it. Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. There are students whom they don't have money to be accepted in any college. There are many students with Yusra in the best talented gifted school in Houston. 50% of the students are under the poverty line. 50% of them. And they were supposed this year to be accepted in Harvard or in Boston, but because of the economy problem, they are not in a good shape financially. All of them are will be accepted in University of Houston because they don't have money for the dorm and for all these expenses. You see?
That's why she couldn't.
Yes, many of the students now whom they are residents of Houston, in spite of the fact they have very good grades in the SAT and the in SAT, yes, and they are already accepted in Harvard and in Boston, they can't go there because they cannot pay for these colleges nowadays. You see? So, all praise to Allah. We are a true believer in the oneness of Allah. Whatever Allah decreed for us is the best for us. Life is a test. I want to pass the test and I want to be successful in this test. Okay, and we as a true believer, we must be all the time ready for this kind of questions in our worldly life. So now, sisters, we must believe that trust in Allah is the source of mental peace, security, and tranquility. As through it, you leave your affairs totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that Allah is the most merciful, the best disposer of all the affairs. Inshallah, today we will learn about trust in Allah in the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as over the last weeks we learn about trust in Allah from the Quran. The first hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding trust is that Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, he is the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reported that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was shown the vast nations. I saw a prophet who had a very small group, less than 10 in total with him. Another prophet who was accompanied by only one or two men, and some of the prophets didn't have even one. Suddenly I was shown a huge crowd, and I thought that they were my ummah, my people. But I was told this is Moses and his people. But look towards the other side, I looked and beheld a very great big crowd, a very big crowd. I was told these are your people, and amongst them are 70,000 who shall enter paradise without being taken to account or torment. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and went to his apartment. And the companions began to guess who may be those people who would enter paradise without any account or torment. Then the Messenger of Allah came out and asked, what are you discussing? They told him. So he said, they are those who don't make charms or ask other for charms, and do not seek omens. This is related to charms and omens. This actually, practically, those are the people who believe in horoscopes and superstition. Okay. So now, sisters, today the class will be related to the fact that horoscopes are forbidden in Islam. First, sisters, we will read some examples of the daily horoscopes which are mentioned in the newspapers.
Okay, for Scorpio, you're no child and your energy may look and act a lot older than you are. That's not a bad thing. Your wisdom is in high demand right now. Okay. Capricorn, you make someone smile today through an act of kindness or perhaps a clown show. Whatever it is that they need, really. You can't quite read minds, but you sure can read your audience. Taurus, you need to figure out whether or not your best friends are up for a day full of activity. If so, you should be in charge. Your great energy ensures that all your plans work out nearly perfectly. Aries, you are in the middle of some crazy business at home, but it almost certainly draws you away from those you love most. It's okay. Soon you'll be right back in the thick of things with them.
This is the weekly.
Okay, and this is the weekly one. Finances are taking up the lion's share of your energies on the first. Don't let panic take the wheel, but do be realistic about what you can and cannot afford right now. The worst thing you could do is overcommit to some kind of scheme that isn't necessarily going to pay off. Some budget travel, on the other hand, could be just the thing for you on the second and third. Remember, you don't have to spend a lot of money to have a fantastic experience. In fact, staying in a hostel or somebody's private house or camping lets you see a lot more of a place than you would in a fancy hotel. Taking it out is going to be a really big help when it comes to understanding your feelings on the 7th and 8th. By the 12th and 13th, it feels like you just won the lottery. Everything's coming up roses, so be sure to take time to enjoy it. Listen, 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 and don't judge, judge, judge on the 18th and the 19th. Really, it's in your best interest, so you feel a little lazy on the 24th. Don't skip your workout. Cancel your plans to meet up with a colleague at the museum and just watch TV with the shades pulled all day. No, 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 just do it all anyway. You have plenty of energy to wrap up the month with on the 30th and 31st.
Okay, thank you. Sure. This is an example of the monthly horoscope, and actually, if you notice that, he is mentioning what will happen every day. You know, what will happen on the 5th and 6th, the 7th and the 8th, 12th and 13th, 24th, and 30th and 31st. They are trying to make everyone to believe that they can inform you in full details about what will happen for you in every day of the next month. Okay, so this means that they know the future. Okay, this is what is behind, what is written in the horoscopes. Again, sisters, today we will learn about astrology, which means that the stars and the planets, which have an influence on the people's life and events. The Islamic rule of horoscopes, astrology, horoscopes, superstition, and fortune telling, all are actions of disbelief. Because number one, they involve depending on something other than Allah. Number two, this means that you depend on the stars and the planets. Okay? Number two, believing that benefit and harm come from something other than Him. Stars and planets can help you, you know, to avoid the harm and to get the benefit. It is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they aim for. Because those whom they believe the word of fortunate tellers, actually they claim that those people have the knowledge of the unseen. And actually all of these horoscopes is for the sake of having money of the people. As we are true believers, we must remember that we believe in Allah's oneness and put our trust only in Him. Why you put all your trust in only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of everything in the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows everything in the heavens and the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who knows the unseen. And I will give you the proofs now about the unseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only controller, only planner. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that controls everything in the heavens and in the earth. All this is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now we will read from the Quran to know the proofs that the unseen is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we will read first from Surah number 27, verse number 65. Venice, can you make this? Okay, Marcella, come close to Venice and read with her. Okay. Daniel, or Mariam, can you come and read with me? Because I will read in Arabic and you read in English. Bismillah ar-Rahman. You know, in English class, I need also someone to read with me so that we have sisters to share with the class. Surah number 27, verse number 65. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لا يعلم من في السماوات والأرض الغيب إلا الله وما يشعرون أيان يبعثون.
Say, none in the heavens and the earth knows the ghayb, the unseen, except Allah, nor can they perceive when they shall be resurrected.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying in this verse of the Quran, sisters, a very important Quranic rule, which is none in the heavens and the earth knows the unseen, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all those people whom they claim to know the unseen are liars. Okay? Because this is the Quranic rule, none except Allah knows the unseen. The unseen is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will read also from Surah Luqman. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah Luqman.
Which number is that?
Yes, I will tell you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, Surah Luqman is Surah number 31. Surah number 31. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verse number 34. 34. The last ayah of Surah Luqman. Okay, read with me.
I asked you a question.
Yeah. الرحمن الرحيم إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت إن الله عليم خبير.
Verily, Allah with him alone is the knowledge of the hour. He sends down the rain and knows that which is in the wombs. No person knows what he will earn tomorrow, and no person knows in what land he will die. Verily, Allah is all-knower, all-aware of things.
You see, sisters, again and again, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knower and all-aware of all the things, so He is the only one who knows the unseen, because He is the one who plans and decides for everything. Now we will read from Surah Fatir. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 25, verse number 38. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة نمبر 35 verse number 38 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله عالم غيب السماوات والأرض إنه عليم بذات الصدور.
Verily Allah is the all-knower of the unseen of the heavens and the earth. Verily He is the all-knower of that is in the breath, in the breast, the heart.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sister, knows what is in the heart of every one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all the knowledge of the heavens and the earth and the unseen. Then we will read now from Surah Ash-Shura, Surah number 42, verse number 28. I am giving you all the proofs from the Quran that the knowledge of the unseen is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever try to say that he knows the unseen is a liar. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وهو الذي ينزل الغيث من بعد ما قنطوا وينشر رحمته وهو الولي الحميد.
And he it is who sends down the rain after they have despaired, and spreads his mercy. And he is the Wali, the helper, supporter, protector, Lord, worthy of all praise.
You see, sisters, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that when the people are looking for the rain, they will be waiting for it. They will look to the sky and they will notice that there are a lot of clouds, so they will expect that the rain will come. But the rain will not come. So they will feel desperate. Okay? At that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down the rain. So again and again, it is up to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, up to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not up to the expectations of the people or the claim that they know the unseen. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sends down the rain after they have despaired. Okay, so from all these verses of the Quran, you must believe with full confidence that if the time now is 12:45, okay, this is the present time. 12:45 and one second is unseen for us. It is only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are here in the class, in the masjid, all praise to Allah, believing that inshallah everything is alright and inshallah we will be home safely inshallah. Nobody knows, maybe a wind will start outside and it will be a strong storm and we will be down after 2 minutes. Nobody knows. Okay, this is the knowledge of the unseen, which is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can write in the newspaper that on 7th of June at 1 p.m. A storm will happen. This can't happen because this knowledge is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We, inshallah, the true believers in the oneness of Allah, we believe in this. So when someone will come and tell me, Sister Mona, don't go to the class on Monday because at 1 p.m. I tell her, Sister, please, for the sake of Allah, stop. This is again the belief in the oneness of Allah. Nobody knows the unseen except Allah, and I don't believe in this. And for the sake of Allah, stop talking about the unseen because this is against the belief in the oneness of Allah. No one knows the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And you have the proof from the Quran. The second fact which we true believers in the oneness of Allah must believe in is that the harm and the benefit come only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The importance of believing that the harm and benefit come only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when those people of the horoscopes are trying to warn us against what will happen on 22nd, what will happen on 23rd. Okay, for example, I will tell all this is non-seen. Why? Because they are trying to make us to believe that they will help us to avoid an accident on 22. So they will help us to avoid the harm. This is wrong. No one can prevent the harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the only one who has the power and the will in this life. So those people are liars, and also they are trying to take us to the way of Satan and away from the belief in Allah, because you must believe that the harm and the benefit is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if all the nation will come together to try to harm you with something, they will never harm you except with something which Allah has decreed for you. And if the whole nation will come together to try to make you to have benefit from something, they will not make you to have benefit except from something which Allah has decreed for you. This is the belief of the true believers in Allah, and this is the way to have trust in Him. Because He is the only one who knows the unseen. It is up to Him my harm and my benefit, so I have full trust in Him and I put all my effort in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, and I accept all His decree. Okay? None of the human being, none of the powers, none of the planets, none of the stars have any effect on my spirit, because they don't cause benefit or harm and they don't know the unseen. This is the blessing of the belief in the oneness of Allah. I am all the time in a good shape. I am all the time having mental peace, tranquility and security, because I put all my affairs in my Lord. I am obeying Him. He promised me that He will take care of me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever put his trust in Allah, Allah will take care of all his affairs. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will read about the fact that the harm and the benefit come only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will read from Surah Al-An'am, Surah number 6, verse number 40. Surah number 6, verse number 17. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يمسسك بخير فهو على كل شيء قدير.
And if Allah touches you with harm, none can remove it but He. And if He touches you with good, then He is able to do all things.
You see, sisters, try to keep this Quranic rule as a guide for you all the time. If Allah touches you with harm, none can remove it but He. So it is not my husband, it is not my kids, it is not my friends, it is not my wealth, it is not my job. Nothing in life can remove the harm except my Lord Allah the One. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches me with good, touches you with good, then He is able to do all the things. This is how you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe in His oneness. You obey His commands. You live your life according to His rules. Because He is the only one who can remove the harm, and He is the only one who can bring for me all the good. And the more you believe in the power of Allah, the more Allah will shower you with His blessings. This is the rule of Allah, the most merciful. You just need to believe in Him, in His oneness, in His power, in His will, in His mercy. Then, sisters, be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to have all what you are looking for, inshaAllah, because He is the most merciful, and this is His promise. And if He touched you with good, then He is able to do all the things. Okay, more than your imagination. Again and again, sisters, it is from my experience in life, my life with the Quran. Be sure of the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. If Allah said that He can do for you all the things, Allah can do for you things which you never imagined that you will have it in this worldly life. And when you have it, you will be so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because actually you don't have the means for all what you have, but it is only your belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the cause of all the blessings for the believer. Now we will read another Quranic rule, which actually me personally, I actually always remind myself with this Quranic rule every minute of my life. Actually, so long I started calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than 11 years now. In most of my classes, I repeat and repeat this Quranic rule, which is in Surah Hud, Surah number 11, verse number 112. Surah number 11, verse number 112. Sorry, 123. Surah number 11, verse number 123. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله غيب السماوات والأرض وإليه يرجع الأمر كله فاعبده وتوكل عليه وما ربك بغافل عما تعملون.
And to Allah belongs the ghayb, the unseen, of the heavens and the earth. And to Him return all affairs for decision. So worship Him, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and put your trust in Him. And your Lord is not unaware of what you people do.
Okay, so you see, sisters, in this Quranic rule, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying about His actually attributes, that Allah, to Him belongs all the unseen. All the unseen of the heavens and the earth are only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is number one. Number two, to Him return all the affairs for decision. None can have a decision in this worldly life. The decision is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will ask, oh Allah, what is my role in life as a true believer? Allah is clarifying, worship Him. This is for Prophet Muhammad and the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to live your life according to the rules of Allah, who looking for your reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I clarified to you, sisters, before, when you marry, you live your marriage as an act of worship. Act of worship means that I am obeying the commands of Allah. I am so nice with my husband. I am taking care of my home. I am a very good wife for the sake of Allah. Obeying the commands of Allah, looking for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My husband is out of the equation. When I raise my kids, I raise my kids in the best shape. For their sake, all my wealth, all my time, and all my health. It is not for them. I am raising them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because my life is an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who commanded me to raise my kids as true believers, as good human beings, as human beings whom they will help life on the earth to be a better life. This is why we raise our kids. So he will ask me, Sister Mona, what will be the reward for you? You are looking for your kids to take care of you when you are old, or to spend on you, or to give you gifts. I tell you, never, ever. I am not looking for anything from any of the human beings, because they are powerless. My reward is only from my Lord, because my life is an act of worship, because He commanded us to worship Him. Worship Him is to obey His commands regarding your parents, to be the best with your parents, for the sake of your parents, to give you gifts or to give you nice words. Never, never. I am taking care of my parents in the best shape, because this is a command of Allah. This is an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be the one to reward me. This is also for my marriage, for my kids, with my sisters, with humanity. I am the best human being because Allah is commanding me to have mercy, to have compassion, good manners and values with everyone. This is for the sake of myself, because I will be rewarded the best from the only one who gives a reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of the human beings can give you any reward, because human beings don't have a will or a power except by the will and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means obeying His commands, I will put my trust in Him. I will take care of my family. I will be the best mother and the best wife for the sake of Allah. Unfortunately, my husband, for example, is not thankful. I will never be upset. And I will never stop being the best wife. Why? Because I am not doing my deed for the sake of my husband or the sake of my kids or any human being. I am doing this best deeds, okay? Because marriage is an act of worship, and my kids are trust. My husband is a trust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me to take care of these people for His sake. They are not nice with you, Sister Mona. They are not thankful. They are so and so. None of my business. My business is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my reward from Allah. When you live your life with this belief in this command of the Quran, you will be always the best human being on the earth. Because all the time Allah will shower you with His mercy. Allah will support you. For example, as I am clarifying to you, I am trying to be a good wife, for example, but my husband, for example, is so busy with his work and he doesn't have a minute to sit with me or to talk to me or whatever, for example. So I am supposed to say, oh Allah, now it is not good, my marriage is not good, if he is not interested, I will not be interested. No, never. Never. Because I am not a good wife for the sake of my husband. I am a good wife because I am a true believer in Allah. He commanded us to worship Him. My marriage is an act of worship to Him. Then Him, Allah, will reward me. So long I am a good wife, the reward is from Allah. Allah will give me good health. Allah will give me good spirit. Allah will give me the mental peace. Allah will make me always to be close to Him. Allah will answer my supplication. Allah will reward me in this worldly life in a way more better than what I was expecting from my husband or from my kids. Because Allah can do all the things. My husband can do all the things, he cannot do anything. My kids can do all the things, they cannot do anything. If I am so good with my parents and my parents are not happy with me, I will never stop being the best son or daughter to my kids. Then, for example, for my parents. Then, for example, my daughter will tell me, why you are so good with your parents, why they are not nice to you, they are not talking to you. I will tell her, this is none of my business. I am not doing my deeds for the sake of reward from human beings. They are out of my equation. My equation is between me and Allah. Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the one who knows all the unseen, the one whom all my affairs are up to Him. So when I obey Him, when I worship Him, when I put my trust in Him, He will be always showering my spirit with the security, with the peace, with the hope, with the compassion. All praise to Allah. This is the best feeling in the worldly life. that you are in a good relation only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything in this worldly life. And you will be able to tolerate your husband, and you will be able to tolerate your kids, even you will keep good relation and good feelings towards them. Okay, sister, just... Now, sisters, because of all the above, we all must remember this of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: whoever learns anything of astrology has learned a branch of witchcraft, which is a disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one of the greatest sins in Islam. Now we will learn about the Islamic ruling on horoscopes. Not only the practice of astrology is forbidden and haram, but also visiting an astrologist and listening to his predictions, buying books on astrology, reading one's horoscopes are all forbidden. Since astrology is mainly used for prediction of the future, those who practice it are considered fortune tellers. Consequently, one who seeks his horoscopes comes under the ruling contained in the Prophet's statement: whoever approaches a fortune teller and believes in what he says, he has disbelieved in what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is not a believer in Islam. If anyone will approach a fortune teller and believes in what he says. Okay, when I for example, read the horoscope of today, and I believe that today I will meet someone at, for example, at 3 p.m. and I will be looking all the day for 3 p.m. to come to meet that one, I am a disbeliever. Because the horoscope is telling me the future. And the future is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I believe that someone other than Allah knows the future, so I don't believe in Allah, so I am not a believer. You see, this is a simple equation. No one knows the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, sister, here I want to clarify to you a very delicate point. Knowing the unseen is a big disaster for the human spirit. You know? Suppose now I am sitting in the masjid at 1 o'clock, someone will tell me at 5 o'clock you will have a car accident. What I will do from 1 to 5? I will cry, I will escape, I will hide, I will tell to my daughters, come and visit me and tell me, hug me because I will have a car accident at 5. I will not go out, I will fear driving the car anymore in my life. And when 5 o'clock will come and the car accident will happen or not happen, under any circumstances, I have a very big psychological problem. Because if the car accident happens, this knowledge is from not from the human being. Suppose Allah makes us to know the future. Okay? And this is part of my future. In reality, at 5 o'clock, I will have a car accident. This is part of the future. Allah makes me to know it. For example, I am clarifying to you that knowing the unseen is a big disaster. Okay? I will not be waiting until 5 o'clock. Because I will say, maybe in this car accident, I will lose my vision. Or maybe I will be paralyzed or anything. Let me kill myself before 5 o'clock. Yes, I can't wait until 5 o'clock. I don't know what will happen to me in this car accident. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us not to know the unseen, this is a big blessing, the biggest blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are created with limitations and abilities. We cannot tolerate to know the unseen. It is more than the limitations of the human beings. My limitations are only up to the present moment. That's it. More than this, I am not created to cope with a second after 1:10. Allah creates me not to cope after this. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us not to know the unseen. So when someone will come and tell me, on 16th you will have a friend, on 18th you will be having an accident, on 21, what is the meaning of this? So I will not live, today is the 7th. My mind will be in the 21. How I will prevent? How I will prevent is what will happen to me on the 18th and the 31st. This is not the reality of the worldly life. Because maybe I will die tonight. This man knows. He wrote to me that what will happen to me on 18th, 21, 29, and 31. Did he know that I, or does he know that I will die the night of 7th? No one knows the time of this. So all of this is deceiving knowledge and liars. That's it. Okay, if you try to use your logic thinking, and I will prove to you now from the American websites that horoscopes are not real. You see, this is from this is the American website, this one. Horoscopes are not real. So the Islamic point of view is the correct one, and as true believers in Allah, I must not read the horoscopes because of my belief in Islam. Not because of the American websites, because I am a believer in the oneness of Allah. Allah clarified to me in the Quran and in the Hadith that only Allah knows the unseen, so horoscopes are forbidden. Any websites clarify this is logic, very good. This is another proof. But I follow my Islamic point of view regarding all the facts in this worldly life. The Salah, daily prayer of whoever approaches a fortunate teller and asks him about anything will not be accepted for 40 days and nights. So if you pray for every day and you go to one of those who knows about whom they claim that they know the future, or if you read the horoscope and you believe in it, your prayer will not be accepted for 40 days and night, even if you pray. It is not accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn from these ahadiths the following. If one believes in the predictions of horoscope, whether spoken by an astrologist or written in the books of astrology, he falls directly into the disbelief. The punishment in this hadith is simply for approaching and asking the astrologist, even if one is in doubt about the truth of his statement, still he is a sinner. Okay? Because some people will say that we just read it for fun. This is not accepted in Islam. Not for fun or, you know, for belief. All related to horoscope is forbidden in Islam. Actually, belief in astrology and the casting of horoscopes are in clear opposition of the spirit of Islam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of the planets and the stars. Sister, this is a very important fact. If you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of the planets and the stars, so why you believe the movement of the stars and the planets to control your life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies this fact in surah number 7, verse number 54. When you have this verse of the Quran and someone come and tell you, we believe in the planets and in the horoscope, tell her, sister, you don't know anything about Islam. This is the disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah number 7, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 54. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-Rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, Daniel, can you please come here to read for me in English? Inna rabbakumu Allahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha fi sittati ayyamin thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh yughshi al-layla an-nahara yatlubuhu hasifa wash-shamsa wal-qamara wan-nujumu musakhkharatin bi-amrihi ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Tabarakallahu rabbul alameen.
As-salamu alayhim. Indeed, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And then he rose over the throne, really in a manner that suits his majesty. He brings the night as a cover over the day, seeking it rapidly. And he created the sun, the moon, the stars, subjected to his command. Surely, his is the creation and commandment. Blessed is Allah, the Lord of the Alameen, mankind, jinn, and all that exist.
Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sister, is clarifying that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the sun and the moon and the stars are subjected to His command. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one controlling the planets and the stars. So how come the people will follow the planets and the stars to know the future if Allah is the one who is controlling the movement of the stars and the planets? So we must realize that those whom they follow, the horoscopes, they are the ones trying to escape the fate. Those ignorant people, they believe that if they know what is in the store for them tomorrow, they can prepare from today, and in that way they may avoid the bad and ensure the good. For example, when they will know what will happen to them on the day of 18th, okay, that there will be a car accident, for example, as it is written in this paper, they will try to avoid it because they know the future. This is totally wrong. No one can change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Again and again, sister, there is a very important verse of the Quran which is clarifying that even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved human being to Allah, he doesn't know anything of the unseen. He clarified this in fact in Surah number 7, Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 188. So this is a clear proof that so long Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not allowed to know anything of the unseen, how come any other human being is claiming that he knows or she knows anything? We will read now this proof from Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, verse number 188. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا نفعا ولا ضرا إلا ما شاء الله ولو كنت أعلم الغيب لاستكثرت من الخير وما مسني السوء إن أنا إلا نذير وبشير لقوم يؤمنون.
Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I possess no power over benefit or hurt to myself, except as Allah wills. If I had the knowledge of the grave unseen, I should have secured for myself an abundance of wealth, and no evil should have touched me. I am but a warner and a bringer of glad tidings unto people who believe.
Okay. So actually, this is the Quran. It's clarifying that, number one, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows the unseen. The unseen, sisters, according to the Islamic language, is that what lies beyond the reach of the human perception. Whatever lies beyond the reach of your perception is called the unseen. No one knows it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is number one. Number two, Allah doesn't give that knowledge of the unseen to any human being. Number three, in His great position of honor and His closeness to His Lord, Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is commanded to declare to mankind that when it comes to the knowledge of the unseen, He is only a human being who can cause neither benefit nor harm. This is because He is not giving that knowledge. Number two, nor is He the one to know the destination before starting the journey. No one can know the destination before starting the journey. Number three, no one knows the consequences of actions before they take place. How come someone will tell me what will happen to an 18th of June? In spite of the fact that maybe I will not be alive on 18th of June. Or maybe 18th of June will not come. Okay? Hence, he cannot choose his action. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying that if I had the knowledge of the unseen, I should have secured for myself an abundance of wealth. And no evil should have touched me. Okay, so long Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't know the unseen, he can choose his action on the basis of its consequences, because these are withheld from him. No one knows the consequences of his actions, accordingly no one can choose his actions. I cannot tell you that, sisters, after 3 days I know that if I travel to Ohio, I will escape a big storm in Houston. So because I know what will happen, I plan my actions. Okay? Because I know the consequences. No one can say this, because no one knows the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Prophet Muhammad doesn't know the consequences, accordingly he can choose his action. He has to choose his actions, and then the results will take place as Allah has determined. That's it. I have to try all the means, then what will happen? It is only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In conclusion, with this declaration, the monotheistic faith of Islam is completely cured. Allah has His unique attributes in which no human being has any share. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Human power and knowledge stop at the point of the unseen. The reach within the limitations of humanity, because what is related to the unseen is above the limitations of humanity. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of the human beings. He is only a warner, and he is a bearer of good news to all mankind. I think, sister, this is enough for every Muslim to forget completely about trying to know the unseen and to believe that horoscopes are forbidden and haram in Islam. At the end, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I have a message for every believer at the end, is that anyone who has anything with these matters must repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for His forgiveness, and depend only on Allah and put all the trust in Him in all the affairs after trying all the means, and be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best disposer of the affairs for all the believers. This is related to the horoscopes, and inshallah we will continue to learn about the superstition next class inshallah, and let us make the dua now.